They say life begins at 40. Age is just a state of mind.
I mean, I'm 40 now, and that's, you know, I mean, I'm 40. I'm half dead, basically. 40's a weird age.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
Frustrating, but inevitable for most people. It's middle-age spread.
Hey, Ando! It's what it is! You put one foot in front of the other and...
Mommy, Daddy...
Today, we're going to talk about the Fountain of Youth.
Thanks for downloading another episode of 40-ish. Here we are.
We are here.
Before we get into everything, I guess we should probably get in the habit of asking people at the beginning of the episode to share what it is we're doing here.
Right.
If you like what we do and you think somebody can relate to this and you're 40-ish, well, certainly share the link to the show with a friend. You can rate us in iTunes. You can leave behind a review. You can find us on Stitcher Radio and in the Google Play Store. Did you know that?
It's up in Google Play. It's a little overwhelming. That's your job.
There's tons of ways to find us.
Google us, okay?
If you Google 40-ish podcast, you'll find
us. It will come
us.
Up, but right.
Yeah, the quickest way that we can grow is if you guys talk about us or share us or do something like that.
Right.
So
we've got some listeners.
That. Yeah, we're doing fine.
I know.
I just, you know, but you can never have enough.
We can always have more.
Right.
I know.
I know Generation X is the smallest generation and that's living right now. So the preponderance of people in the 40-ish generation or age range are in Generation X. So there aren't as many of you as if we were the
quality over
millennial-ish podcast.
Quantity over quality. Quality over quantity. Which one do we want? It doesn't matter. Just listen.
Interestingly enough, we do have a cusper in as our guest today, Liz Hewitt from Grind.
Burger Kitchen, yeah.
Okay, Grind Burger Kitchen. I had to get the name
super
right.
Yummy. My favorite burger in town.
She has an interesting story. We've already sort of done the chat with her, so we're recording this intro. But she had an interesting career prior to opening this food truck and had to make a transition along with her husband at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting story and sort of changing course midlife.
Yeah, I think it's a great example of, you know, sitting up going, I'm 35, 40 years old, and look what I'm doing now. I would have never
thought
at 22 I'd be doing this.
That's sometimes within your control, and sometimes, like in their case, it was kind of out of their control. They had to do something.
Right.
And so this is what they chose, and by all accounts, things are going very well for them.
Yeah, I think it's a good lesson, too, that you know, they were forced to make a decision. Sometimes that does happen to people, and that's actually why I live in Louisville, because we were forced to move. But maybe in life, if only we could choose what we want and not have be forced to do it. You know, why do we have to be forced to choose? You know, they were like, what do we want to do? And then they did it.
A lot of people will say, choose what you want.
Right.
Damn the torpedoes. But of course, most of us are weighing the consequences of such an action.
I know. So it's hard, but they got to do that. And I think it's pretty cool what they've created.
There's a very fine line between doing what feels good and doing what is the right thing.
Responsible. Yeah. And that's what I talk about. I was like, it all changes when you have kids too. All those decisions change.
I might venture to say that really sinks in when you approach your 40th birthday. Like, okay. Because I'm going to Phoenix this weekend. I'm getting on a plane tomorrow morning, and I'm flying out to watch a football game.
Okay.
And it's going to be super fun, and I could go completely off the rails because I'll be with my uncle and my cousins and my brother, and it's
It's like another bro weekend.
I'm going to have
whatever
to get up.
You call that.
I'm going to have to get up early and fly back and on Monday morning, and I really don't want the consequences of overdoing the tortilla soup and a 30-pack of Budweiser.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
you'll have a different yet still fun weekend.
Yeah, it'll be fantastic.
Right.
So without much further ado, we'd like to bring Liz in. It's a great story if you find yourself in a season of life where you may have to having a change forced upon you when it comes to your career and the way that your life trajectory is going. It's a great story.
Yeah, it doesn't always have to go being forced one way. Doesn't always have to end up bad.
That's
what Liz tells us all about.
Head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Rom.
Today I'm with Matt Jones,
Kevin Harned, Pat 40.
I'm with Anoush Shariot,
Crispin Ball,
United States Congressman John Yarmuth,
Sarah Brofancher, and
Susie Eastman. I have Kristen Boone,
one of St. Matthew's most favorite sons, Danny Flanagan.
It's Pat Day.
The list goes on and on. The most interesting people in the Ville are on the Rusty Satellite Show with Rick Redding. New episodes Thursdays on Louisville.am.
I'm lamenting at the lack of burgers in the studio right now.
I know.
I'm very sorry.
You've never done radio before? You always bring...
You have to spoil the people.
I should have. I know. I'm a horrible guest. I apologize.
We are here with Liz Hewitt.
Yes, Hewitt.
Yeah.
And she makes delicious burgers. Grind, right?
Yeah. Grind Burger Kitchen down in Newburgh.
You guys are celebrities.
Oh.
At this point, right?
I know. Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
I don't know about celebrity. We are people who make cheeseburgers that other people really like.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I have enjoyed in the past myself.
Thank
off
you.
Off the truck. Yeah.
Oh, you have not been? They've got two locations, Dan.
I'm sorry. I just... Sorry.
It's okay. The new location's really nice. I
mean,
the last one
nice.
Was cute, and, you know, it did its job.
Let's give out the locations before we get rocking.
Well, it's one location now.
Now it's one location, yeah. So we went from the truck to a spot on Preston Highway.
No more truck?
No more truck.
Okay.
Yeah, and then now we're in Newlu at 829 East Market Street.
Okay.
Yeah, so I decided we needed to have her on because, Dan, she used to sell bras.
I'm sorry?
That's true.
She used to sell bras, and now she makes burgers. I mean, it's like, what a fun
That's an
path.
Interesting transition.
Yeah.
So, and she's, you know, falling almost into the 40-ish category. And we were just talking before we started recording just about, like, you know, the paths that people have taken, that she goes from bras to burgers.
Yeah.
It's like, how does this happen?
When did this transformation take place?
Well, I mean, there was several years, but I went to college in Cincinnati at Northern Kentucky University, and I got laid off from a job, and I ended up just applying for a job at Victoria's Secret. And
okay.
So I worked at Victoria's Secret for 6 or 7 months and really just had a knack for fitting bras. And, yeah.
Dan wants this job.
No.
Yeah. No, it's not nearly as glamorous as it
all.
Sounds. and then I applied for a position at Saks Fifth Avenue in their lingerie department. I didn't hear from them for a few months. And they contacted me and said, come in for an interview. And there I was, the lingerie specialist for Saks Fifth Avenue.
So what's your education in then?
I have a marketing degree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which lends itself to kind of what
you're
doing.
Sales and merchandising and stuff like that,
okay, so this was, what, 5-something years ago?
Oh, no, this is
longer?
Early 2000s, yeah.
I
was in college. I worked full-time while I was in college. So
gotcha.
I did that, and then when I graduated from college, I became the assistant manager of the cosmetics department at Saks, and then I moved to Louisville and started working at a Lilly Pulitzer store, which, if you know me, is... Not really me, but
you're wearing black and gray,
lots
and blue
of
jeans.
Black and gray and blue jeans.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
the one
yeah.
with the colorful sweater today.
So. Yeah, I was monkey dresses, like monkey print dresses and things, mm-hmm. and it was people got a laugh out of it. But you know, it got me to Louisville, and then from there, I did more of a marketing field. And then when I met my husband, he was working at the Courier, and they were laying a lot of people off, so he started culinary school and. We are adult people who had an adult mortgage, and him starting as a dishwasher for $8, $9, $10 an hour just wasn't realistic for us. So we started a food truck.
So he had a big transition that he had went through it. I mean, and dragged. Of course, you were along with, for the
right.
ride. So how old was he when that happened?
28, 29?
Okay.
Still young. Still young. So you could take some
risks.
He's
2 years younger than I am, so 5 years ago.
They didn't have kids or anything
right.
okay.
at that
yeah.
point, so there was a little bit of flexibility there because
it
all changes when you have kids.
It
yeah.
does.
Your decisions.
But it also yeah. changes for some people because they get bored.
Right.
And they're you get it to be a certain age with gray in your beard, and you're like, what am I doing? And so you're thinking, maybe I'll just restart. But
yeah.
And that's, I think it's interesting to have you in here because – tell us what that was like to sort of discover a new thing and run with it. And
it was he had really liked to cook anyway, and I had been a vegetarian for 15 years.
I know,
actually.
Seriously. Yeah. Oh. She was a bra-fitting
vegetarian. Yeah, not anymore. Bra-fitting vegetarian, yeah.
Turned burger gal.
And he had developed this burger blend, and mine was, I was vegetarian for texture issues and, you know, I just,
it
I
wasn't like save the animals.
I mean, I love animals, but I sell cheeseburgers for a living. Right. So, you know, you kind of make the balance there. But so he had developed this burger blend. And when we decided that we were going to start the truck, we kind of looked at the market. Again, my marketing degree. And there were tacos and there were grilled cheese. There was pizza, but there wasn't a burger truck at the time. So it just made sense. He already had this great blend that he was doing for me. And there wasn't any, there weren't any burgers on the market like what we were doing at the time.
I don't know. Burger blend is a new term for me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she probably can't tell you everything about it.
I can't.
11 herbs and spices.
Yeah. It's a little bit like that. I mean, we don't put any extra seasoning. Some places put, you know, lots of different stuff. We just salt.
Salt.
But yeah, it's just salt. Some people put like all this crazy stuff. But it is a blend of several different cuts. And they're hand-trimmed and ground in different percentages.
Okay.
So that you get whatever, you know, our desired texture.
It's texture.
Fat
yeah,
content.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a certain grind die, you know, size that we use and hence the name grind, okay. You know. But yeah, so it's a burger blend. And the blend that we use now isn't the same blend that...
It has evolved.
It's evolved, yeah. It's evolved to be a little easier for people to do faster. So it pretty much tastes the same. We only have like one customer who has eaten with us weekly since we opened.
Yeah. Wow.
That can tell when we changed the blend a little bit, but nobody else can tell. Yeah. Yeah. But we had to make it so that, because Jesse got to the point that he can't do all the trimming and all the cooking and all the, you know, other things that go along with business ownership. So we had to simplify it a little bit.
You have to run the business.
Yeah.
Work
yeah.
on the business, not in the, you know,
yeah.
as they say.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's nice to be at that point, but yeah, you know, we can't be in there cooking and washing dishes every
day. So when you were doing the truck and you were launching that, what was the a week like? How many hours?
Oh,
because I know you've told stories of, you know, just the heat, you know, being out there on some of those weekend events and you're in this truck and it's already 100 degrees out. You're grilling burgers. It's unbelievably hot. That itself is grueling. But how long of a week is it to run a food truck successfully?
Yeah, well, and the thing is with running a food truck, at least in the Louisville area, you know, I know other cities are different, obviously, but in the Louisville area, when we were in the market, it was you either did like the weekday lunch hustle and then maybe some events on the weekends, or you put all your energy into doing like real big events,
festivals,
3 days a week, all day. And that's what we did. You know, we never did any really big festivals like Forecast, but we do Flea Off Market, and Douglas Loof Farmers Market was really busy for us. But going down, we had a truck and a trailer, actually. But so going downtown to find parking, it just wasn't worth the trouble most of the time. So you would get up at 4 or 5 in the morning. You would grind beef and cut buns and do all the lettuce and do all the tomatoes. And you're doing all this on the truck, right?
Right.
With water tanks and all that kind of stuff. And so your day, you know, for a flea off, we would go get propane. We'd go to Restaurant Depot and pick up things that we needed. We go to flea off. We get there at 9, be open by 10. We'd sell for the whole day. It's 95 degrees outside. It's probably 130 on the truck.
Ugh.
Keep a little thermometer. You're like literally slow cooking at that point,
yeah.
You know? And so we would do that for, you know, 3 days a week, every single week. And that's how we did the hustle. So you think, oh, you had 4 days off a week, but those other 4 days, you're driving around to vendors, you're doing your books. Cause at that point you can't afford to pay other people to do your books, you know?
So was that physical exertion one of the reasons you're like, listen, we got to get a...
Oh, it was a major one.
We got to go brick and mortar here.
Yeah. Yeah. People are like, oh, it must be so great. Like, you're on your own and you can just pick up and drive wherever you want. But that's just not realistic.
That's too dreamy.
It's dreamy. Yeah. It's a lot of work. And I think that, you know, if you maybe lived in a larger city where you could do really good volume every single day, maybe something like that where you could have a crew. I have a friend of mine or some friends of mine that own several burger trucks in Dallas. And they're killing it. They've got like 4 massive trucks. They're doing all these weddings. They're busy all the time. But Dallas is a lot bigger city than Louisville is. You know, you have a lot more people that you can reach to. And it's warm more out of the year. So between the hard work of actually running the truck and then that lovely polar vortex we had two or three years ago, that was brutal. I mean, we almost went out of business that winter.
Because you just can't you get just out can't. And sell. Well,
the water tank would freeze
right
by the time we unplugged the heater from our house to the event.
Wow. Man, yeah. These are things we don't think about as ordinary citizens.
Yeah. People, you know, I had somebody, we were at Flea Off Market once and the water pump broke and you can't run if your water pump's broke, right? I mean, you could, but I don't want to get busted by the health department. You know, it's not our style. So,
it's my style. I mean, I try to break the law whenever possible.
I know.
I live on the edge.
Yeah. You know, like I just, that's the last thing that I want is anybody coming in and being like, oh, guess what grinded? No. So keep your nose clean, right? So, so the truck was closed. My husband, Jesse, had to drive all the way to Indiana to the RV store to get another water pump.
All the way to Indiana.
It's like a 30-minute drive into where it was from where we were.
Sorry.
And when you're supposed to open at 10 and it's 9:45 and you realize your water pump didn't work.
Oh, gosh. Problem.
Yeah. Then it's an hour back and forth and another hour to hook up the water pump and get everything going again. Customers were like beating on the window and so mad. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. Like I can't do anything for you.
Right. Hey, sing and dance.
Yeah.
Have a show for them.
How long is it going to take? As many minutes as it takes. I have no idea, you know. So I'm glad people were really excited about cheeseburgers, but at some point you're just like, oh, yeah, go eat a taco.
Aren't you glad you had a smartphone with you to distract you from all that noise? You could just check Twitter.
Oh, man. I was like in the truck and they were beating on the truck. Like they just could smell my anger over a broken water pump in there or something. I don't know what it was, but yeah.
So. And so then finally you guys decided transition time. And do you feel like you're working any less now?
Oh,
or is it just different?
It's different. It's different. We work more because it's all the time now. Like before, you're kind of working all the time, but there's a lot more pressure now. We have 18 employees,
right.
I think, now.
Wow.
Yeah, we have 18 employees,
that's
not
great.
Including ourselves.
His burger grind blend.
Yeah, created all these jobs.
Created all those jobs.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And most of them are full-time, so that's
sweet.
Really nice. And but yeah, so it's a lot more of that kind of work, a lot more HR stuff, a lot more paperwork. And then as we get more managers in place that are, you know, pretty self-sufficient and don't need a lot of help from us, we can start working on maybe another location.
Expanding.
Or, yeah. That kind of stuff.
Growing.
So, that's so cool. And then around that time, because I know a lot of people in their life are always trying to, when do we start the family? So you guys obviously waited till you had your restaurant set. I can't imagine with all the food truck stuff even having
child. I mean, honestly, at some point it just wouldn't have even been safe. I mean, it's so greasy on the floor and then you're in there pregnant and you can't really afford to pay anybody else and it's so hot and then your stomach and the window and like bumping into it. It was, you know, we definitely planned exactly, you know, when we wanted to, and we got pretty close.
I mean, they always say
there's no good time. Yeah,
but there
are. But
jump
definitely
in.
Having the restaurant in place, was a better timing.
Yeah.
So tell us how that's changed your dynamic, not just with work, but with, you know, you guys are gonna have to balance this. Somebody's got to be with the kid.
Yeah.
So maybe you're seeing a little bit less of each other these days, maybe?
You know, it's interesting. We are pretty fortunate that we're in a position where we can be in and out of the restaurant, and we have such competent people working there that if we need to run and go do something, we can. And if we just kind of need a day to spend together, we can do that
also. Good.
Yeah. Generally, we have, well, we have a space above the restaurant that we lease as an office, and we're able to keep Oscar, that's our little boy, up there, which is nice because Jesse can be up there with him for a little bit if I need to run down, and then we can switch places. And then we usually are able to be home by 8 or 9. If he's a little fussy, I'll leave home early, but but it's actually been not horrible. I mean, it's hard.
Yeah,
you know?
Your restaurant seems like you're home away from home.
It is. We spend a lot of time there.
You pretty
there.
Much just sleep at home.
Yeah, and a couple days a week, I can do a lot of the work that I do over the phone and on the computer, you know. So I stay home with Oscar 2 days a week, and then Jesse usually stays home with him 1 day a week. We usually get a grandmother or something to help out 1 day a week, but we're in and out all the time.
Grandmothers are very handy that
They're
way.
They're handy.
So thank you, grandmothers.
Yes, yes.
Let's talk about the food you serve, because I think it, well, Dan, for when you go to their new location very soon.
Yep.
I can say this about Grind. I actually, because we're talking about burgers, but I crave the Brussels sprouts.
Oh, okay. Brussels sprouts are outstanding.
Okay, but seriously, I don't think I ate a Brussels sprout ever.
Oh.
Until I had the ones at Grind. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Think of all the time you lost in your life not eating Brussels
sprouts.
But
I don't know that I could have other Brussels sprouts now.
He likes them already, but he's never had ours.
No.
See, I don't know if I would even...
Tell me how to sell me on the Brussels sprouts.
Oh, so they're flash fried. Sometimes people get them and they say, oh, they're kind of burnt. No, they're supposed to be dark like that. They're a dark brown vegetable. When you cook it, it gets a little darker, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brown butter, orange juice vinaigrette with a bunch of other stuff in it, which sounds a little crazy, but Jesse worked on that recipe for like a year. And we didn't have fryers on the truck for insurance reasons. It's cheaper to not have a fryer. So we didn't have fryers on the truck. So he was like holding on to this recipe for when we opened. And when we opened, we thought, oh, yeah, people, I mean, it'll just be a nice option for people who don't want fries.
It's become a mainstay.
Yes.
Yeah. How about that?
No, I have to go.
People love them. It's one of the things that we're known best for, that and the B&B.
Yeah, I've brought people to Grind, and they're looking, the menu's not huge, you know? So you pay close attention to what each special burger or something they have, and then you have the side options. I'm like, I just look at them and make you have to get the Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
And they're looking at me like, Brussels sprouts? Hey, well. Like, what are you, my mother? Like, I have to eat your Brussels sprouts. I'm like, no, seriously. And so usually I compromise. One person gets the fries because their fries are very good. But then I'm like, well, I'll just get the Brussels sprouts and we're good to go. But it's really good. I also appreciate, because I'm a well doneer, I like well done, that they do the double patty for the well done.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I like well done burgers.
Well, yeah, but what's a double? What do you? Oh, so double. Patty.
What do you call it? Diner style.
Diner
style.
Style.
I went right to bun when you said patty for some. Like, why would you have two buns?
No, it's like, because half the time when I go to a burger place or someplace and I order a burger, I know I'm taking a risk when I say well done. I pretty much am usually disappointed because it's not well done. And I'm not a one to put food back.
Or it's too well done.
And it's dry.
Right. Yeah.
And so they Grind is just like, whatever. Burgers our size are not meant to be well done. They just, like, you recognize that. So they give you two thinner ones.
Oh.
So that they can cook through.
Yeah.
And you still get the same amount of meat. And stuff. It's really good.
And what's nice about it, too, is that it gives it a little bit of style. It's not just this hunk of meat that's on a bun, you know. So... the way that we do the burgers, we flatten out the edges and they're cooked on a flat top, so it gets that nice kind of crispy caramelized edge.
Dan, are you hungry?
So when you get... I know, I should have brought some. So when you get it, they're like... We do it so it's thicker in the middle and then it cooks towards the edge. So people get a medium rare and they'll take one bite and they'll say, oh, well, this is not medium rare, but you got to get to the center. Like it's, you know, you earn your way into that doneness in the middle. But with the well done, it's all crispy edge, so it's very good.
You guys think this through.
They like, did.
We are... overthinkers.
I love it.
Most of the time it benefits us. Sometimes it drives us nuts. But yeah, a lot of thought's gone into it.
So does your working relationship, do you play off each other well? Is that
I'm very like type A and high strung and detail oriented. And Jesse is like super crafty and really clever. And he can do anything. Like if he can look it up on YouTube, he's fixed my car like four times.
And you can appreciate these things about each other?
Yeah.
Rather than be resentful about it.
Yeah, no, and I think that I think our marriage is better running the business than it was before.
How about that?
Yeah, I think that it's nice because we both are working towards a common goal, and we're able to both contribute to it. And I mean, we argue, of course. I mean, we run a business and we live together and we're married and we spend like so much time together and talking, but we get along really well.
So how do you get, when you get away from it, what do you guys do?
Oh my God, talk about the restaurant.
I'm going to wag my finger at you.
I know.
That is not healthy.
That's been one thing that's been hard, though, is that, you know, when people are married and they each work different jobs, they have something to talk about. But, like, when we go to dinner, we just don't talk at all. Like, I think people probably think we're crazy because we're, like, sitting there on our phones. But we spend so much time talking.
Yeah.
Dinner out is kind of our time to just chill out and enjoy our meal and, you know.
You spend time apart, like, doing things that you individually enjoy then?
Because
a lot of times they'll say that's important in a relationship.
Yeah.
You maintain your self-attitude.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean... I don't don't know that we really did anything like that before. I don't know that we really missed anything, you know. He likes to watch football. You know, we were talking about that a little bit earlier. Yeah. So he'll watch some football, and I like just reading and doing stuff on my phone, and I play video games a little bit, you know. So we kind of break out that way. But generally, you know, we spend enough time apart now with the baby and taking those days off that it's almost kind of weird to not be spending so much time together like we did on the truck.
Have you been able to adapt to the multi-button video game? You'd be shocked at how often I have this conversation.
No, it's too complicated.
I was two buttons with the Nintendo thing, and then they came out with the Xboxes.
Yeah,
and
my son, I can't play it.
I got to the Wii, and then once Xbox got super complicated and all the games got too realistic, like, it gives me anxiety.
At 9, I have to get him and go, just turn this on for your sister. I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
He's like, Mom, you press A, blah, blah, blah. And then with the codes, like, there's a passcode.
Yep.
And the codes, you have to go up, left with joysticks.
Up,
up, up, right, down, down, plus, plus. I'm like, and he does it in 2.5 seconds. And I'm like,
No. We were the kids that had like all the video games. So, because I grew up in a house full of girls. So, for like the only girls in the class that had the Sega Channel when that was a thing, they used to have Sega Channel. But, and then I played them all through college. And then I played them a little bit when I first got married. And then I just started playing games on my phone because it just got too stressful.
It's just easy.
I was like, it's too involved. And you got to sit there for 2 hours. I don't have 2 hours to sit and play a video game, you know?
So, as a generational cusper.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of mid-30s.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
Which generation do you think you identify with more? And I'm not pitting Generation X against the millennial generation, but there are certain differences there. I mean, do you see identify with both, maybe?
I think I identify with both. I mean, I grew up in a house where, you know, my parents did not take any nonsense, you know, like, you work hard. I had a job the day I turned 16.
Mm-hmm.
My dad owned his own business. I mean, he owned a roofing company. And I remember, you know, when he was first starting out, there was a leak in a roof. And he left in a thunderstorm to go fix this leak in a roof because he's, like, proving his, you know, new business and that he's trustworthy as a business owner and as a contractor and stuff. And so, you know, I feel like millennials kind of get, you know, a bad rap about, oh, everybody needs a trophy and everybody needs this. The working world isn't the way that it was 20 years ago.
Right.
And it's been hard for me to adapt because I'm very much like nose to the grindstone, bust your butt, work 35 hours a week, go to school full time. And that's just not the way it is now for younger people. And if I don't adapt to that, I won't have any employees.
I would like to fall on the generational sword when it comes to the trophy, everybody gets a trophy thing. That's kind of our fault. Is Generation X.
A little bit, yeah.
It wasn't the kids' idea.
Yeah.
It was, you know, we decided,
Oh,
man, we remember what it felt like to be picked last in gym class for the basketball team. And so we don't want anybody
else. Somewhere along the line, I think it was when I was in high school, my the elementary school that I went through started something called Everyone's a Winner.
You know? Everybody can't be a winner. Sometimes you have to be a loser. I've been a loser before.
And there is so many lessons to learn in losing.
Yeah.
And growing from those experiences. There's only one way that you lose bad, and that's when somebody kills you.
Well,
that's a loss you can't come back from.
Liz is not losing the burger game.
No,
it is a lot of work, though.
Do you feel like you're winning? Like, are you, like, do you get up every morning and like, this is great?
Yeah, I do.
I know you're tired.
I do.
So justifiably tired. But
I just can't imagine. I mean, I can imagine doing something other than burgers, but I can't imagine not working for myself. Like, I was never great at working for other people necessarily because I'm really opinionated and I just want to get stuff done. I want people to just leave me alone and let me do my job. And that's not really how it works all the time when you work for other people, you know. But it works great when you're the boss. So, you know, it's worked out really well. It's great.
I think it's really awesome. And Dan, that's his next place where he's going to go to lunch. Grind.
Yeah.
And he's going to get the Brussels sprouts.
I'll drag the family down there, right?
Don't come tonight, though.
No.
It's going to be very busy.
We're recording this on the day that you're airing on Diners.
Oh, yes. Yes.
What is it?
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yes. Yeah.
So congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That. That's kind of a big deal. And guys, he's got a place in
Fourth Street Live.
He does.
Yeah,
so he's a he's honorary local.
Yeah, he's taken some roots and interest in Louisville. That's nice.
Because this city's great.
And I hope it benefits you guys, like, immensely with people coming in.
Yeah, lots of tourists, I'm hoping.
We'll come next week.
Cool.
Yes, please
about
do.
That. Thank you for coming in and sharing.
Thank you for having me.
Great story.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
Yet another inspiring scenario.
Right.
For somebody who's doing something they love to do.
Yeah, and it's not easy work.
I don't envy that.
But since you're, passionate about it, something you've created, like when I work on Louisville Family Fun, I never feel like, gosh, this is so annoying.
Right.
This is because it's mine.
Yeah, that's how I feel when I go home and I do this podcast stuff.
Right. And so same thing with them. They have, I don't think owning a restaurant, I think, is really hard.
That's what I mean. I do envy them that they're living this interesting lifestyle of owning their business, and they're doing what they want,
and
they have their kids.
And it's truly theirs.
But the restaurant business, dude, you got to be super dedicated to choose that.
Yeah, and they've done it, and it's just it's really interesting to see how somebody gets
– yeah,
how people get there. They're not people that – said at 18 years old out of high school, I'm going to go to culinary school, something that happened later. And,
yeah.
And it worked out, and it's pretty cool. I just think it's really interesting. And they've been on TV nationally, even before the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and they get a lot of pickup. It's just, it's a cool story.
You know what? It's because they have a good product. They get attention.
They really do.
Yeah.
I mean, they wouldn't, because with the way the internet works these days, if their food was not good,
they'd know. We'd all know it.
We'd all know it.
You bet.
Like within 2.5 seconds.
Something after when Liz was still hanging around, we were talking. Something she said inspired me to share my words of wisdom.
All right.
Man, I've got certain information.
What do you think the meaning of life is?
The best place to be is here. The best time to be is now.
Party on, dudes!
Little girls are delicate. Boy, you put in the backyard like a dog, it raises itself.
Words of wisdom.
We were in here talking about the fact that, Grind Burger Kitchen is delicious, and it's super high quality. And it's a little bit more expensive than your ordinary run-of-the-mill fast food or even sometimes sit-down hamburger, right? It's a hamburger.
It definitely is.
But it is a hamburger of fantastic reputation. And so all that reminded me of my friend Barry, who, I'm a guitar player. And guitars can get, they can get stupidly expensive if depending on how old they are and the quality of the build. And people are like, hey, you got a 1959 Gibson Les Paul. That's like the coup de grace, from what I know. And I don't know much about it. But you want to have those guitars if you can afford them. And so years ago, I was negotiating with Barry to buy the guitar that I now own. And he had two, and I had to choose from them. And I was like, well, I really like this one that's black, and I didn't like the style of the one that I actually eventually bought. And I was like, yeah, but for what I'm paying, I could go out and I can get these other two guitars. And he says, Dan, it's like my old man always said, never be afraid to buy the best.
Right. You get what you paid for.
And I think that those really, if you have the means and you're very interested and I hate the word passionate. It's so overused. But if you have something that you're interested in, buy the best, because it's something you really want. You're never going to regret, oh, man, I bought the best one.
Right.
You're going to be satisfied with it all the time.
And we've talked about this before. I think it was when Heidi was on with clothes.
Oh, yeah, right.
Remember we talked about, it's so much better to, and I have not gotten over this hump necessarily all the time, but, she said it's so much better to have a high quality,
right,
the best piece of clothing you can afford.
Yes.
And have fewer of it than to have a whole bunch of junk that's going to wear out,
right,
or, that kind of stuff, just to have more of it.
Totally works.
that you're going to maybe put, just like you would say, look, I have much more pride in this piece of equipment, this guitar I bought.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the clothes you put on or whatever it is.
Now, of course, that was before I was even married. So
right.
I'm back to buying cheap guitars because I have a wife and three kids and yada, 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 and a house and all of these things.
Right,
that,
right, right.
You know, you got to make compromises when mortgage. You have to make compromises.
Right, yeah. Right.
So, but I still own that guitar. It's still my main axe, you know, and I play, it's, people hear it and they're like, oh my gosh, that guitar is phenomenal. I'm like, I don't regret buying it.
Yeah, but you probably would have regretted not buying
it. Totally, absolutely.
Yeah.
I say the same thing to my kids when they're reading or what are doing some schoolwork. I'm like, look, just go the extra effort. You're never going to regret it.
Right.
It's not like you're going to learn something and go, I wish I wouldn't have learned, you know.
I wish I could just be just an airhead.
Exactly. You're never going to. I just wasted a words of wisdom that I could have used on a
yeah, there you go.
Dude.
I know. We have a hard enough time coming up with these, pretending that we're wise.
I know.
Well, mine has, my words of wisdom has nothing to do with that. It just goes with the kind of the way my life has been the last couple days or weeks. But right around Thanksgiving time, my husband works for a small company. He's in charge. But being when there's a small company, if a couple of people leave, it's a big impact.
Mm-hmm.
So he had two people, one in a major role and one in a support role, leave at the same time, all in the finance department, which he's in charge of.
Right.
And it was like his world was going to implode. And I said to him, and this is, my words of wisdom isn't necessarily like a quote or anything like that. It's just to choose. Remember, we've said, how can you react? You know, choose, sure, how you react. Huh. So I decided, like, I know what's coming. My husband is going to start working
more
insane hours. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm not even going to see him.
He's trying to make up for it.
The kids, because he needs to now learn all these processes, hire people, plus to his own job.
Well, the buck stops with him.
It's, yeah. He's responsible. And so I just looked at him. I was like, listen, you do what you have to do. You don't, I'll explain it to the kids if you're not here when they go to bed. They, you know, they're old enough to understand this is temporary. You still have to work out. You still, you know, I coached him through, like, don't let this tank you that you have a bad attitude or something about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just immediately absorbed that rather than look at it from a woe is me. Like, oh, man.
Now I got to do all this.
And yeah, we were going to split doing, you pick this kid up and I pick this. Now I have to do it all. And you know, making that, I've been doing everything at home. You know, whereas he would usually help.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when it's going to end, but I chose to be a solution.
Yeah, right.
And so that's just an example of, you know, when something happens with somebody, whether it's a partner in your life or a coworker, if you look at it more as, I'm going to be a part of the solution here. I'm going to make this work, even though, man... Like, my son is really upset that my husband is not here, you know, but also my husband's at work and he's been there since 7 a.m.
Sure.
And it's 9:30.
Right.
So let me be a part of making this positive rather than complaining to him, because that stinks.
There's a book that I bought and read. Yeah, I don't read books as much as I'd like to, and I certainly can't.
In theory, I would read books as well.
I can't read business books. It's so hard, or philosophy books, but I did read this one, and it's called The Obstacle is the Way by a guy named Ryan Holiday, who I love. And it's about exactly what you just said. You know, if you're faced with a challenge, the only way to get through it is to go through it. You can't work your way around it or over or under.
Right.
And so that's kind of what you're doing.
And that's what I told him. Yeah. I said, you just go do this. Get it straight so that it can be done quickly.
Yeah.
And this doesn't drag out. Just focus on this. Get it over with. This stuff at home, the dogs, the kids, basketball, art class, paying. Well, I'll do it all.
Yeah. And to bring
it, all of it,
to tie it all up. I'm sure that's what Liz and her husband are doing too.
Right, balancing.
Because when you're running your own business like that, and you got a kid, and eventually that kid's going to be in school, they're going to have those challenges.
Right. So that's kind of my words of wisdom.
Very
wise. Just be a partner to people, rather than
don't be a butthole.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We're done with words of wisdom. Don't be a butthole. It all boils down to that.
Yes.
All right.
There you go.
Well, thanks for downloading and listening in, everybody. Again, share it with a friend if you can. That's not if you can. Just share it with a friend.
Do it.
Leave a review. Leave a rate us on iTunes. You can find us in Stitcher, on Twitter. Just Google us. All right. 40ish Podcast.
We're there.
We'll be back next week with a whole new episode. Thanks.